Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion.
Sihamba ngokholwa, hayi ngokubona. Hamba nathi. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, umngani wakho wemihla ngemihla.
Of course, it is that time of the week. Second hour, it is third hour. What do I mean? Yeah, but it's third hour already because time certainly does fly when one is having fun. And today is just one of those days as well. And of course, because it's the third hour, round about now, we have financial conversations with Blessing Ndabula, helping make sure that your finances are in order. Blessing, good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Lux. Thank you so much. And good afternoon to our listeners.
Lovely to have you back with us. So what are we talking about this afternoon?
We're talking about how we can learn to transfer and retain generational wealth.
Okay.
Especially for businessmen, businesswomen, actually just in general. But I think I carved the topic specifically for businessmen or businesswomen. We most of the time find families that were doing so well. There was a business in this family doing so well in the community, and then the father dies.
Sure.
And it tumbles. Everything just crumbles, everything just disappears. All the wealth that was there, we see now the children are struggling, you know, and it's not nice to watch and see.
You know what worries me about those type of businesses and legacies, Blessing? For me, it almost feels as if the one who was leading the family, though I'm not trying to blame shift, was all about themselves and their abilities. Because I always wondered to myself, yes, it's working now, but aren't you thinking beyond yourself?
Yeah, that's exactly part of the conversation today, is that we need to make sure that we pass down other generations the wealth, the leadership, the mindset, the legacy, the wisdom that has made you to be who you are, not just enjoying the fact that everyone bows down to you in the family.
Yeah.
And that same wealth that you have attained and worked hard for, pass it down onto the next generation. And most of the time, so I'll take us through a step-by-step guide, you know, that people can actually use and carve their own way of building and transferring this generational wealth.
Yeah.
We need to start with the right mindset.
Yep.
You know, so that you make sure that the wealth does not disappear in the second or the third generation because you did not plan properly.
And it's all about planning. And also, I like what you just mentioned. It's all about planning. Plan thoroughly, properly, thoroughly.
Planning thoroughly. And then sometimes we also allow family conflict. You know, like issues just within the children. You find out that maybe you know that there's an heir, there's the firstborn in the house that you are presuming that is the one that is going to take over. And I like it. I always say that when I talk to the Radio Pulpit community, you're talking about godly people, people who have the Holy Spirit. I will differ with a lot of people. It's not always the firstborn that can be matured enough to actually continue the legacy or continue with the leadership of the family.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit can guide you as a family on who is that responsible child, that mature child in the house, that one that shows preparedness, you know, in continuing with the responsibility or the business responsibility of the family. So you look out for such. You not necessarily because so-and-so is the firstborn and therefore this wealth must go to him. You may just be shooting.
And the thing is, they might not be as responsible. That's another thing that people don't think about.
Exactly. So it's very vital that, you know, like I think if we even were to refer in the Bible, Solomon was not the firstborn of the family.
Exactly.
You know, but God had directed the father David that he was the one to take over the legacy of the family, you know. So I like it when I speak into this platform because we're talking about people who are spirit-led, people who have the Holy Spirit that can actually guide. So you look for those kind of things, you know, like within the children. Who is that child that is more matured, more responsible, more wise, a kind of a leader? And I think last week when we were in the topic that we're talking about, we are talking about creating these family meetings, you know, it can be on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, in ensuring that our finances are run properly in the house. So if those meetings will actually be able to help you to see which child,
yep,
my children shows responsibility, you know. So you also need to create a family legacy plan. What's your long-term family strategy? What are you going to create a will, which is very, very important that you must have a will.
Yep.
And also, like, maybe your businesses, you need to register them under a trust.
Okay.
So that you not only, when you are doing your will, you not only giving all the responsibility to that particular child who is not well trained in handling the finances, and then will end up frustrating all the other children.
True, true.
So it's very, very vital that you have a family, a long-term family strategy. Create a family legacy plan. How are things going to be constructed when you are not there? Who's going to run things? Who's going to be the CEO? Who's going to be this? Who's going to be that? And the communication amongst your children also is very vital so that they know. And the one that you are training that is going to kind of take over is not somebody who's going to suppress or
bully all the others.
Frustrate all the others.
Yeah.
Or bully all the others. And they feel like they don't have any rights or of ownership in their father's world.
Yeah, true.
Or in their world. So it's very, very vital that all those things you need whilst you're still alive.
Yeah, true.
Whilst you're still alive. The training of your children. The writing of the will, because I think in one of the sessions that we've had, we spoke about creating wills and ensuring that you get policies, funeral policies.
Yeah.
And what else did we speak about? We spoke about
life insurance policies.
You're putting aside money for your children. So that by the time you go, your children will be taken care of.
You're reminding me of myself recently. I was telling Sisenika that I said, oh, I didn't put anything solid in place for Kia and Ua, but like, come hell or high waters, end of this month, I need to make sure I sit down with someone and sort all of that out. Because, hey, I mustn't one day be gone and people are like, who's going to take care of the kids? And then there's nothing to take care of them. No.
training. And the training really starts now. Yeah. And you're going to see the training starts now even for your children.
Yeah,
in how they will be able to handle hard-earned money that you've been putting aside. Or this hard-earned business that you've raised over so many years. You are respected. You are a very respected businessman. You know, you need to, because you, even the sharing of the contacts, the relationships that you have, like maybe with other business stakeholders, it's things that you need to, it's a legacy that you need to, you've built that legacy of those relationships. You also need to transfer it now to that, to that particular child who's going to be taking over. It's not an easy thing, you know, like in sharing certain contacts with or with people that are untrustworthy. You understand?
True.
So those things, they start now. You don't wait up until the doctor said you have 6 months to live. And then that's when you are starting to think, oh, who's going to take over? Who's going to run this thing? And I also wanted to emphasize that it's not always the boys that you need or the men in the house that you need to appoint in taking over the business.
Exactly. Sometimes, I don't know why we think so.
Yeah, sometimes your girl child, if you are into farming, for example, may be very good with taking care of the sheep, taking care of, you know, knowing which what needs to be done, you know, in terms of taking care of your farm. It's all about the training, like I'm saying, and it's all about knowing which one is prepared enough to actually continue with the business. It does not necessarily just because you know that, hey, he's a boy, he's my son, and therefore my son is going to continue with this thing. Your son may be very, very irresponsible.
Exactly.
And within 6 months after you are gone, then
he's all that all the money is gone.
I think I know of somebody who passed on and had given all the wealth that she had accumulated to her son.
How did that turn out?
After six months after the mom had passed on, there was nothing.
No.
You could never see that son had millions in his account.
No. That's not possible. Yo.
And now all the other sisters were also now struggling, going around begging for this, begging for that. And that's poor planning.
Sure. And your child, the sibling's money as well, not just his own.
To be with the Lord. Yes. Everything. Child, everything. She had taxis, sold the taxis. Nothing was left.
Sure. I heard recently of a child who was just sharing her story that her mom passed on, and I think again it's a case of leaving no will, and now the dad apparently lives with that guilt because he took all the money, it's his wife's money, Akir, and he doesn't think of the kids right now, went and married another person, and they used up all that money. And so the children couldn't even go to school because they had chowed all the money with his wife.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Sure.
Oh, my goodness. You see, these are the things to avoid. Like right now, you still have the time, you know, to make those changes. And I was emphasizing the point of splitting the inheritance based on character, not equality. So you know your children. You are the one who's raising your children. Therefore, don't make the mistake of saying, our firstborn. And those dynamics, you also need to work on them now, because sometimes the firstborns believe they have those rights, whether they are trained or not. they don't want to go through that training of leadership, of running the family when the parents are not there.
Sure.
So just because the person is the firstborn, he's say calling himself, I'm deputy dad or I'm deputy mom. Mm. But that person is the most irresponsible person ever. So you as a parent, or you as the one who's running the business, you need, if you know that firstborn is, you need to be strong enough to say, bruh, I'm not going to leave things with you.
Exactly.
If you are this irresponsible.
Sure. Babati, amakhosathi imali mayibanjwe. Okay, let me say it in English. Once you give money to a person who's not familiar with money, they will squander all of it.
Yeah. They will squander it.
Sure.
They will squander it. And if you remember last week, I spoke about, you know, training your children whilst they are still young to have a good relationship with money.
Exactly.
Whereby if you give them a stipend of 500 rands and you are saying this 500 rands is for the whole month, check on a weekly basis how far are they with spending that 500 rand. Mm. The one that has a very bad relationship with money, within a day or two, that 500 rand is gone. My mom used to say, "And if you go happy up until you pay, you pay."
I know those kind of people. I've got a nephew like that. Guys,
but these things are trainings that we need to imbibe at a very young age. We still have opportunities to actually train our children. If you haven't had the opportunity as a child to be trained, well, God has brought blessing, you know, to bring in this. Train yourself,
exactly.
And then train your family as well. If you are somebody, once the clients have paid, even you, your relationship with money, how's your relationship with money?
Mm.
Once the clients have paid, then you squander all the money and the money is finished within 2 days and you are waiting for another payment to come through that maybe will come in 30 days. And within that 30 days, you are going around borrowing money from one corner to another. That's a poor way of managing finances.
That's so true.
Because by the time you are getting paid, and what legacy are you going to transfer to your children to continue with your business?
Sure. You're basically nudging us right now. You're dealing with our consciences.
These things are so important. I don't know, Luca, if you've seen families that were doing so well, were well respected, you know, because their children used to go to very expensive schools.
Yeah.
We knew that there were taxis, there were farms, there were this, properties. I mean, up until the dad of that house died.
Sure, and things start falling apart.
And the thing is, we do not know the mental issues that those children go through, because they've been used to a very high lifestyle of living. And then all of a sudden, the one who did not train them or transfer the wealth and the legacy to them is now gone.
Sure.
Whew. I've seen it. It's real. And sometimes it's not that God cannot restore. He says he will restore, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it takes to restore something that a person has not been trained to keep. How long will that, even for the Holy Ghost, to restore all of that? You see, even if we are to use Job as an example, Job was a businessman. Mm. He knew how to build wealth and have a lot of wealth. When he lost it, it was easy for God to bring all that wealth and more back to him because he knew how to handle it.
Sure.
How does God restore wealth on hands that do not know how to keep it, how to retain it?
Sure.
School may not be enough, as much as going to university is very
But it might not be sufficient to sustain everything.
But take somebody who has, I'm very educated myself. Take somebody who has never, take somebody who has just gone to university, has got degrees, and compare that person with somebody who has been trained by his father on how to go out there and get clients and take care and service those clients and keep those clients and keep growing with those clients. And that person has also gone to school. There's a huge difference.
Yep. A very huge one.
So you can't only say you are going to rely on the fact that you've gone to school. Actually, very rich children don't even like going to school. They feel like,
oh, it's true.
What am I going to do?
That is so true.
My dad gives me everything. My mom gives me everything.
Yeah, that is
privilege.
So true. Sure.
But if you're a parent like that, I'm sorry. When you are gone, in a few years' time, after you are gone, your children are going to suffer.
Sure.
And they are going to be our concern when you are gone.
Everyone's going to worry about them.
And do you know how painful it is? Yeah. Do you know how painful it is to take care of a child who has never raised on how to take care of himself?
Sure. That's why I always say, don't raise them for yourself.
Somebody
only
who doesn't even know how to tie. Yeah, because even if they go to work, you get them a job so that they can go and be able to take the. They don't know how to work. They don't want to work. They don't want to be employed because they were never raised like that.
Exactly.
So they become our problem.
That's true.
And a problem that we cannot fix. And then they end up taking drugs.
Sure.
They end up taking drugs. They end up committing suicide.
Because they can't cope with their realities.
They can't cope with the realities of the fact that there's no money at home anymore. And there's no that one person who used to take care of them. Yes, you enjoyed the fact that you were, and I know like some men and some women actually are like that. They just love the fact that everyone at home, when they need anything, they come to them. No. Raise everyone to be able to take care of themselves.
True.
And on top of that, on this that you are building and working hard on, let that be somebody who's going to be able to continue with this thing. And it doesn't end with that person, the second generation. It goes to the third generation and moves to the fourth generation. So you build a mindset of it's not about me. What I'm building is not only about me.
Yeah. It needs to impact generations after me.
Yes. Why is it that Abraham, when he couldn't have children, right, in the Bible, and he was praying to God, and he was like, I do not want my, his biggest employee, I do not want him to be the one that continues with the link. It means he had trained him.
Exactly.
But he wanted his own son to continue. And if you check from Abraham, Abraham was a shepherd, right? From Abraham to Isaac, Isaac continued in his father's business.
Okay.
From Isaac to Jacob, Jacob continued in his grandfather's business. Joseph, you know, great grandfather's business.
Sure.
All their children, they were all shepherds. That's the business that they were doing. Even in the scriptures, God shows us.
Okay.
And that is the transfer of wealth, generational wealth.
Mm.
That I'm trying to make sure that we build and impart into our children.
Yeah.
And therefore, we will not have really, like in terms of unemployment, the unemployment rate in South Africa would be so reduced to nil.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are paying it forward.
Exactly.
Even if it wasn't your dad that gave you the skills, you pay forward to your neighbors in the village that you know that are struggling, have been looking for a job. Give them the skills, the kind of skills that you have in farming. Give it to them.
I love the sound of that.
In your village, you just enjoying that you are the only one who's very educated who has the money. When you come and you're driving your BMW, everyone comes and hogs around your car. It should come to an end. It should pain you instead.
Yeah, true. Can't succeed alone.
And you tell yourself that, yes, you tell yourself that by the end of it should not end with you.
Yeah.
I know I talk a lot.
And we have run out of time, unfortunately.
Yeah,
Blessing, thank you so much, my love. It's really been great, and I think an eye-opener for us as parents in general to say, what am I leaving behind for my child? Will they be able to handle it? Because it's not just about leaving something behind for them. It's also making sure that they can handle it. So thank you so much. Appreciate this chat.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Have a lovely one. God bless.
Your daily spiritual nourishment. Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.